Third half of the show is officially underway. Great to have you on board here as we continue our mad dash towards 6 o'clock. As I mentioned in the last half hour and before that, we invited some company to drop by here and chat with us a little bit about things that are important to each and every one of us. Once again, we're having the pleasure of the company of Matt Mayer, former president down at the Buckeye Institute, now with the Heritage Foundation, a fine Washington think tank, right up from Union Station in the heart of the Logic Free Zone. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on board. I'm just curious, before we get to your piece here, do you have to run into Washington on any sort of regular basis and expose yourself to all those deadly rays that pour down upon people inside the Beltway?
Oh, you know, fortunately, I only have to go there once every so often, so I probably average about once every 3 months, which, you know, I get the toxic dosage, and then I get out of there and get this clean, fresh air outside the Beltway, so everything works out okay.
That's good. Ed Filner's still handing out those little hats to wear while you're in town?
You know, he doesn't, but, you know, Filner just got, and Ed Meese just got the Bradley Foundation Awards. Huge awards for two leaders of the conservative movement and of Heritage.
And a tip of the hat from all of us here. Yeah, I've read about that. It's very, very, very cool. Well, let's get on with it here. You've got this piece that we got our hands on, the Flaws in Kasich's Tax Plan. It was carried in the local paper. And is this overall going to be part of or your book, Taxpayers Don't Stand a Chance, is coming out?
Yeah, I talk about this in the book, but the book's far broader, and it hits state and local level, and you know where Ohio was, where it is today, and how do we get back to being a leader rather than a laggard. So the book is about 200 pages. Its first draft is done, and it'll be hitting Amazon by mid-June at the latest.
Excellent. Well, I can tell that at the latest that'll be your next visit to WSPD land. We'll get to talk about the book. So in this the governor's nifty tax plan here, I get the sense from your article that nothing has really changed. He's gonna claim he's gonna give tax cuts to the people here, and while he turns around and taxes the oil companies and so on, the energy industry haven't we learned enough, or is this something different about when you tax an industry? Ultimately, it just runs downhill and winds up costing the taxpayer, the consumer, whomever, the dollars anyway, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it does, right? Just because you change the color of the revenue, i.e. who you're taxing, it all hits the consumer at the end of the day. And step even broader, right? This idea, and this really came out of Grover Norquist and Americans for Tax Reform, this compromise that you don't have to cut taxes as long as you don't raise taxes, you're meeting the kind of sound conservative pledge. And I got to tell you, there's some intellectual vapidness to that. I mean, what happened to the conservative movement fight for lower taxes? Why are we saying it's okay for politicians to maintain the status quo when the status quo, at least in Ohio, is already too high taxes? And so I think we really got to start pushing back against this idea that net neutral taxes, tax policy, is a good thing for Ohioans.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that. I want to make a note next time we have Grover on to ask him where the hell did you come up with that one?
It's the wiggle around the pledge, right? He made all these Republicans sign this pledge, and it's a way that they don't have to raise taxes, but they get credit for not breaking the pledge as long as it's a dollar for dollar net neutral. And I just think that that's a cop out. I mean, we've got to get back to the conservative movement being about lowering taxes, reducing government, creating efficiency and higher productivity, and letting the economy prosper so that you know, average Joe and Jane Ohioan has more money at the table to do what they want with.
Well, and as you point out, and this is true for both parties, is spending is at the heart of it. You said it's the elephant in the living room. You can't ignore it, but yet nobody's doing anything about it.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. I mean, this is yet one of those other, like, you know, let's shift the attention away from government spending, which gets higher and higher every year. And my book has tons of details on this. But if we look at the general revenue fund expenditures, which is the state budget, it's grown by 148% over the last 23 years through next year's anticipated budget that Kasich pushed through. So what we've got is government outstripping inflation by more than 2% per year for 23 years. That is not sustainable for Ohioans unless we want to have a high tax state.
Here's something that I think we're all having a little difficulty getting our intellectual arms around. The issue is spending. Naturally, taxes and everything come along with it. We hear things like unsustainable and this mountain of debt that's piling up and all the rest. But just like somebody addicted to crack or some other heinous drug, these guys don't seem to be able to get off of the spending kick, regardless of whatever blackness is inside this crystal ball for the future of generations. Getting back, not to be redundant, but getting back to the subject of unsustainability and the counterproductivity of taxing industry, claiming that it's going to be a break for the little guys. This is a race in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there is a mathematical problem we continue to face, right? We spend more than taxpayers are able to handle. And so either you have to continue to throw a greater burden on them, which then, of course, retards job creation and hurts the bottom line, right? Or You've got to figure a way to essentially cut government spending that allows you then to lower the tax burden, because you just can't have a high tax environment. And Ohio has one of the highest state and local tax burdens in the country. You can't have that high tax burden and expect companies to say, yeah, this is where we want to be. I hear it all the time. Companies saying, I can't attract solid, top-notch workers because they view Ohio as a high-tax state, and they're going to lose ground even though they may get a pay raise because the taxes here are so much higher than where they are today. So this hurts us in terms of corporate competition, business competition. So we've got to get a handle on this, and you can't get a handle on the taxation policies unless you first tackle the spending policies.
Well, why see that again? Getting back to the and maybe just me. I mean, I'm no Mensa candidate, but I don't. When you've got all of this, all of these examples lying around. I was talking about this with Walter Williams last week. You got all of this history of throwing money and digging holes and every analogy that you can possibly come up with, and yet the people in charge today continue to do the same thing. Whether it's the president, the governor, whatever this spending business. You're talking about hurting job opportunities. I think the main thing is it hurts re-election opportunities if they get serious about this.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because this is the schizophrenic voter. So they're taking their message from the voter who says, cut government, but not my government, right? So
right.
What ends up happening is all the horse trading, which means no government doesn't get cut. And so then they try to come up with other ways like this to try to keep revenue high. Because fundamentally, a dollar trade, which is what the Kasich plan does, all it does is ensure that government revenue remains high to feed the beast. That's the problem, right? Because you don't want to have to tackle the spending, because tackling spending is unpopular, but that's what's got to happen. And that's not just at the state level. Local level, school districts, cities, counties, villages, this is a problem all across Ohio, right? When we look at the new numbers coming out in May on school districts, I guarantee you what I'm going to find is that the aggregate deficit across the state of Ohio went up over the last year and a half. Well, that's because, again, we refuse to deal with the compensation package issues of teachers, of police officers, of firefighters, and of just routine bureaucrats who work in county, city, or state government. Until you do that, until you start restraining those to below 5%, actually below 3%, right, which is inflation in Ohio, until you start doing that, there's no way you're going to be able to tackle your taxes, because you're going to have to continue to find ways to drive revenue into government to feed these greater and greater compensation packages, which are driving it at the local level budgets higher and higher every year.
Well, then but what do you expect from that? Do you expect those interesting crowds that we had in Columbus not too many months ago when this was going to be, you know, something entertained by the legislature? Or will these types of blowouts take place in every village and town throughout the state as each village and town deals with that situation?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is this, right? Ohio's elected officials are having to face a very stark choice, and either they're going to kick the can, or they're going to essentially get a spine and start making some tough choices on the spending side of the fence. Because here's what's happened: Ohio has a choice of being either one of the last states to shake off the what's called the blue social model, what that Walter Russell Mead has written about extensively for the last few years, right? Where it's this idea that, you know, the government is going to be the answer, government programs are the answer, government workers should be immune from the economic realities that we all face. So if we become one of the last states to kind of shake the yoke of that blue social model, there is no way we can expect our economy to revive. Will we add jobs? Of course we'll add jobs as the national economy adds jobs. You know, we added jobs in 1990, but we added jobs at a pace that was the 37th worst in America. So we'll add jobs, but it'll again become a laggard. And we're already seeing that. In the last year, we went from having to being in like the low teens among jobs, net job growth, to now we've fallen into the mid-20s in just the last year, because as other states, i.e. states where workers are protected from having to join a union, where taxes are lower, they are starting to recover more strongly than we are.
Well, I was going to ask you, isn't it true that the people are moving out and businesses are moving out, you know, to get to into a business climate in another state, or a individual climate in another state where you get to keep more of what they earned and not have to be constantly palming it off in union dues or income taxes?
You bet. I actually just got my hands on the data after getting it crunched in the last 24 hours on migration data to and from Ohio, and it is clear as day we are losing people to states that protect the rights of workers, that states that have low tax policy, and that is a huge problem. You can't, again, people vote with their feet, and they are voting against Ohio's policies on spending, on taxation, and if we don't change that, and again, this is not an easy thing to do. As Issue 2, Senate Bill 5 showed last year, the blue social model, you know, dead-enders will spend every dollar they have to maintain the blue social model to the very end. So we have a big fight to have. But I got to tell you, if we fight the battle in the way we did in 2011 with Senate Bill 5, we will lose every time. We've got to be far more strategic, far more thoughtful, far more in-depth in terms of the education that we do, reaching out to average Ohioans, explaining the issues, none of which happened in the roll-up to Senate Bill 5. And so, again, we've got to be very smart about this, because those dead-enders of the blue social model are going to fight till the last dying breath that they have.
Well, we've seen that here. They've already, you know, gotten all whipped up about this with their right to work is wrong nonsense. And the only thing I can think of, quite frankly, Matt, is that this was a little bit easier to explain than some of the more arcane aspects of SB 5.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, and that's why I always argued for a far simpler collective bargaining reform than what was put there, because it got grossly complex, which means it was really hard to explain to voters. But the reality is that, you know, when you look forward at the way we have to tackle the, you know, workplace freedom, we have to be smart about it. We have to educate Ohioans on what the point is. I have an entire chapter on my book that goes over in detail the economic data on this issue, comparing all 50 states, you know, looking at how Ohio's done, and really what protections are already there for workers to show and make the case of, if you had to choose and you had total control, what would you choose knowing all of this information? And I'm confident if we give Ohioans that information, a majority of Ohioans will choose to shake off the blue social model and start working towards a 21st century Ohio. And that's really what's got to happen. And when you think about this tax plan that the governor's proposed, I mean, again, another one of the flaws is that, you know, Ohio for once has a competitive tax structure on an industry. So what do we do? Oh, let's increase the taxes on there and still be competitive, but less competitive. That makes no sense to me. If we've got a tax advantage, darn it, let's keep it. And if that means we drive more of the energy production coming out of Ohio because we have a really low tax on it, that's great. Because you know why? We will make more money with the production, more money with the jobs that are created than if we increase our tax, become less competitive, and therefore incent other states to then make some changes so that they put those jobs in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, in Eastern New York Western New York rather than in Ohio.
Have you or will you be having a sit-down with John Kasich on this? He can invite you over for coffee to kick this around a little bit?
I don't think the governor has me on any invite list these days. I was kicked off that list last March when I criticized his budget and haven't been on the list since. So I don't expect anything. And, you know, I'm not an establishment guy. I don't worry about, you know, heat from the establishment. I try to do what's best for Ohio. As a fifth-generation Ohioan with kids that are here, I want an Ohio that's strong for the future, that so that my kids stay here and don't do what most of the kids that are the smart and brightest are doing, which is leaving Ohio and going south and west to where there's prosperity, innovation, technology, and leaders across the world happening in places like California with Silicon Valley still, but in Texas, Florida, Georgia, Colorado, places that again, strive to innovate, not places that look to tax raise taxes on industry, you know, shift around the burdens and essentially tread water rather than advance the game.
But do you get the sense that a solid education, you know, the facts, I get the sense that there's more emotion, at least in this area, about this than, and maybe even the rest of the state, it's not a matter of making an objective analysis of the facts or looking at bar graphs or charts or statistics or anything else. It's all adrenaline.
And let's assume that that is the case. There is no more emotional pull to the heartstrings of Americans than the right to choose. We love choice and the right to choose in America, and the right to associate with whom we want to associate. And the idea that you would be forced to join a labor union as a condition of employment is anathema to the entire idea of what America and the ability to choose and chart your own course is all about. So this idea that somehow, if it's an emotional case, we can't win, well, I think what's more emotional is the right to choose. That concept is a very strong polling concept. Ohioans like it. Even labor union members like people having the right to choose. That doesn't mean you're anti-union. It doesn't mean you ban unions. It just means someone doesn't have to join the union if they don't want to. And that choice is something that is important for all Ohioans, and we should preserve it for Ohioans like Indianians have it and like 22 other states outside of Indiana now have it. Because, again, if we don't, if we cling to this blue social model that favors this kind of pro-union mentality, Ohio will remain a laggard, and our revival over the next decade will be among the weakest in the country. You can mark that down based upon the historical data that we've seen from the 90s and the 2000s.
Well, I ought to take that minute and 20 seconds that you just did and just put that on a continuous loop and get that and play that around. Or you know what we ought to do? We ought to get you around up here to some of these Rotary clubs, and I'll give you a case of Milton Friedman's book, Free to Choose, to hand out. We can make it really get something going. Or better yet, get your book and hand it out. That'd be the best route. Taxpayers don't stand a chance, right? Coming out, did you say, on Amazon next month?
It's going to be coming out. It'll be on Amazon by mid-June.
All right.
So we'll talk about it one day. But look, I'm going to be when we start moving around, I'm going to be intimately involved in the education and communication on workplace freedom, and I'm going to barnstorm across this entire state, and make sure that I reach every Ohioan I can possibly reach, because the reality is, if we don't make the right choice on this issue, Ohio will not prosper in the future, and it's got to prosper for my kids, for your kids, and for our grandkids.
Well, I tell you what, I got this little 5,000-watt megaphone here that you're welcome to use anytime you like.
Hey, thanks. I really appreciate it, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks a lot for your work. We look forward to chatting on this some more. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Good luck with the buck. Here comes Matt Mayer's book, Taxpayers Don't Stand a Chance. You a taxpayer? Might want to read that. It'll be out next month, mid-June. We'll keep an eye on it, let you know when it's available.